It's always the thing of inclusion here. No one's to get excluded. And that's why tonight I want a pleasant surprise. I'm going to share a little bit of front time with my friend. Lucille, baby, come on up here. I just love this woman to death. Not as much as I like KK, though. She's going to read a couple poems because I just really like her, and I like her poetry. And I want her to always feel included here. Give me a hug, baby.
Angel. From Oakland, late one night, I was walking home. Snow was falling soft, and I was broken and lost. I stepped from the curb into the gutter, and suddenly, strong hands on my shoulders, one on my left shoulder, one on my right, four fingers of each hand in front, the thumbs in back. Words take so long to say. An angel lifted me, placed me on the curb, the way a child might lift her doll to place her somewhere safe, and the cars whizzed by. The new hat. So my husband asked, as husbands do, but not condescendingly, "How did your day go, dear?" And I told him, "Well, I was waiting for the bus, and it came, and a bunch of people got off, and I didn't like the way this lady looked at me, so I punched her, and she kicked me. So I pulled her hair, and the bus driver said, 'Ho hum,' and drummed his fingers on the steering wheel. So I got on the bus and made a face at her through the window. The other people on the bus, of course, pretended not to notice. You know, the way they do. And off we went to town. 'Do you like my new hat?' 'Yes,' he said, 'it's lovely.'"
Lucille, I'm always going to share time with you because I just think you're so cool. I'm not going to go too much up here. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of something, you know. My nickname was Dog, and it's my undercover name. It kind of worked for me, I guess, because it just seemed to work. They didn't have to learn my real name. And I wrote The Secret Society of Dog, which the name is in my books. And I really believed it, and I believe it to this day. My life is poetry. I think that's very important. At least I think it is. I'd lay a bet on it, actually. In order to be a good poet, and I'm not suggesting that I am, but I believe to be a good one, you have to live it. You have to breathe it, you have to eat it, sleep it, dream it. It has to be in everything you do. You have to have the energy. And sometimes I watch young poets. I really like young poets. I really do because I was young once and I looked at and things should change and grow. Everything should grow. Surrender to the youth. D.A. Levy was a young man. But if you read his work, you can tell he's immature. But what fantastic work when he talks about snow. But that's living the poems. And you have to study. And perform. Great performer, okay? And I'm not going to perform for you, but I usually, I'll have Bob Marley music when I perform. The reason I'm not going to go into a lot of poetry tonight is because I'm afraid to. I really am. And I pondered this a little bit. I will perform. I've had lap dancers at my poetry readings, pole dancers at my poetry readings. I mean, I've read at the Lincoln Memorial and where Martin Luther King's read. I read over the Carnegie Music Hall. It's not bragging or, you know, I'm just telling you, but you got to perform it. Become it. Don't be afraid of it. Everybody, everybody's like afraid of it. Don't. Turn it into multimedia art. But keep the poem. But don't be afraid to sit there like, put Bob Marley on and Lady Gaga. I played her music, which I think she's really coy. I always wanted to be part of her craziness. And I would be. It'd just be so cool. Bring out the old man, do whatever you do, and let's get the hell home. But then, like, one of my poems from the 60s, it was called Up Against the Wall, Motherfucker. It was performed live in New York. And if you're from my age group, I think you might remember that song. It was, but I plugged that in, and I had these strippers. Well, they weren't strippers. They were kind of like strippers. And it was fun. But that was what we said when we were young policemen. When you grab somebody, there were no rules. We made our own rules. When you grab somebody, you know, it was like, get up against the wall, motherfucker. And that was almost like the credo, you know, and up against the wall. But anyway, here I am here. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. It's my 7 minutes. I did all these shirts. I'm not going to pull them out. But Dog is a narc. I used to buy drugs with these shirts. It was fucking wonderful, you know, and they always said, and I had big shirts, and I hid my 9mm under there, and that's all I carried. Now, I was considered deep cover. I didn't go out with anybody except my gun and me and money, and it was fun. And everybody's guilty of something. That's what the shirt says right there. And then, but the other one, it goes, till pride and worse, ambition, and then they toss me down. That comes from Milton's Paradise Lost. Was that fucking wonderful? Think about it. With pride and ambition, and you're running. Ha, yes, I'm doing cool shit. And you get tossed down on your ass. Wow, does that hurt? But here we are in front of you trying to make madness of it. No sense. Oh, I'm going to try to be. I'm going to read you what the secret society of the dog is. This, I got like this many poems. So. My colors are black for the darkness, red for the blood of broken hearts, and white for the purity of my heart. How can I tell her what the society is any more than Whitman could tell the boy what is the grass? I've been kissed by the sun many days, have grown old and tired. The cosmos is large. Stealing just one line from Federico Garcia Lorca. But like love, the archers are blind, asking myself, what in the hell does this mean? For that matter, what in the hell does any of this mean? I've outlived the black peg, or should I steal from Pablo Neruda, he who walks around taking everything, ode to salt, ode to the tomato, ode to bird watching, ode to his shoes, ode to his suit, ode to the onion, making me piss, thinking I'll write an ode to my balls. Ode to my ass, Pablo, ode to my ass. How can I tell the woman of the society? How can I tell anyone of the secrets of the society? How can I tell anyone of the secret society of dog? Tell them of the man that rigged a shotgun trap that killed the burglar over 30 years ago, how the shotgun went off and cut the man in two. Should I tell anyone of how the burglar bled out on the dirty wooden porch? I think on a hot July day, maybe 40 years ago. The man that rigged the shotgun was old, and if it matters to anyone, his name was Sylvester Shaw. He was a black man like the coal dust in the lungs of those condemned to the mine. Should I tell her that I have coughed the color black for the unknown, just like the dark walked on some rat alley, having smelled rat so often? You cannot forget the color black, or tell them of the red and how the words bled like so many words for no reason. Bled just like the little girl at the McDonald's for no other reason, she was just scared. How she died from the bullet in the heart. And if it matters to anyone that screams for the right to bear arm, the caliber that killed her was a .25. red like the blood spilled from Carter's head, having been struck by the Louisville slugger, cracked in the back of his head, home run, milk from the coconut, white print from the dog paw. Maybe, just maybe, so the truth should be always be told and live like Whitman's grass or Lorca's arrow. Or clouds or bright sun when you stare too long daring your own blindness. And does it matter if you steal another man's thunder? Who really cares? Having been a thief of thunder more than once, I've enjoyed the rumbling of the dark clouds and the crash of lightning. So I say loudly, yes, I stole the man's thunder that shook the earth and made the man cry, having been able to protect his own gift of thunder. This is the society, the secret society of dog, red for the blood, black for the unknown, white for the purity. And yes, I have stolen from Frederico, Pablo, and I will tell the little boy, Walt, a blade of grass is the softness under the foot of the dog. Ashes to ashes. That was about a sergeant that put his finger in there, and he put it in his mouth, and it was this woman's ashes that was cremated, and he said it was 98% pure heroin. Stanley loves Snickers. That was Stanley Haas, who used to bring up, he killed like five people, and he used to sit there, and he told the woman, if you bring me Snicker bars, I'll tell you where I buried your daughter. And they killed Stanley Haas down the jail. Okay. All right. One of the reasons I don't... Oh, I wrote this to a black spiritual, okay? And it's when a woman is tired and has a headache. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but it's when you get, no, I got a headache. No pussy tonight. No pussy tonight. No pussy. And it goes on like that. Now, in conclusion here, I'm going to tell you what. I was over there with Jay Carson and her over at Southside Church, and I wrote a poem in two conclusions here. And there, I'm not going to read you that, but there was, I swear to God, there was nothing worse than that bathroom over that Presbyterian church. Smelled like a dead Presbyterian, and I made a poem out of it. And one of the reasons I have my reservation, because my titles of my poems can hurt your ears. I wrote a manuscript. I gave it to my publisher. These are the reason why, and I have a poem, and I'm not going to read. I'm just going to tell you, then I'm going to conclude it. I read, and I did this for Swearing for Children. Okay, I write all these vulgar poems, and at Christmas time, I raise money for about 300 kids. And I was over the Hard Rock Cafe, and one night, as I'm reading my poetry, after I was done, a bar fight broke out, about 10 or 15 people punching the hell out of each other, and a policeman got his nose broken, two people were arrested. And I said, shit, if I could do that every week with my poetry. And then when I gave Bob Zoller my manuscript, what happened was he gave it to this little girl, and she was all pink, you know, all pink nipple-ish kind of a girl, and long, you know, kind of. So she comes up here, and she says she could look at my work. And he gave her the work. She gets my work. She was on a little Huffy, and she was riding her little bike, bouncing all over town, and come back the next day, threw my manuscript at his chest, and she said, I want paid. I am not going to read another one of this guy's poem. He's sick. You're sick, and this whole thing is sick. And I went, wow. Just because there was poems about a guy getting held by his testicles with a pair of pliers. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and that was a wonderful summer. And the sign-in readers are there. And if you want to buy my book, you can buy it here.